We didn't decide on the date for annual meeting by looking at the readings, but you might think we did. We began with our Old Testament reading from Nehemiah, which can be kind of daunting, where the people hear the law and they begin to weep because they see what all they are not doing. And then the passage in Nehemiah says, "But this is the day of the Lord. Go eat and drink and be merry." And I'm thinking, this is perfect for annual meeting. I won't give you bad news, as Nehemiah did, but I may challenge you a little bit today. This reading of the law that we heard in Nehemiah is, to me, also a starting point for what we heard in the reading from Corinthians, that we are to strive for the greater gifts. This passage from Nehemiah is one where it describes Nehemiah's return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and its wall. I don't believe we build walls here. I think we're more of bridge builders. But we are charged with rebuilding the city of God and bringing the kingdom of God more fully into our ways here in human society. We are called to strive for the greater gifts, gifts which benefit the world and make it better. But I believe that we have to start that process by strengthening ourselves so that we can help other people. On the surface, and in deep ways, here at St. Peter's, we continue to get stronger. Attendance is up. I know it's not about the numbers, but I'll share them with you anyway. 2013, our average Sunday attendance was 106. The next year, it was 121. And the next year, it was 128. Our membership has stayed about the same during that time. And we have a far greater number of what we call non-members active. And that is something I see as an opportunity for us to continue to grow and deepen our relationships, is to get everybody involved in the church as much as we can. We are strong in other ways. The budget for 2016 is balanced, including significant money toward the debt each month. Yay, that's right. And I hope that when we pay off that debt, we can turn our attention more fully to helping our community, to teaching other people and ourselves to seek Christ, and to free ourselves from the fast-forward, crazy busyness, this way of life that cannot bring peace. In a sense, we are called, as the music that we sang says, we are called to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to proclaim release to the captives, including ourselves. I want us in the coming year to strengthen our sense of unity and solidarity with other people. We model it here at St. Peter's. We have people here of widely divergent theologies. And yet we come together and we worship God and we push back sometimes, we debate sometimes, but we are not in constant conflict like a lot of dimensions of the church are these days. We model this unity, this seeking of Christ for the common good, but we need to carry that model to the greater world. Our society is fractured and fearful and suspicious. One of the commentaries about the reading from Corinthians about the body and all the parts of the body being necessary, one commentary says this: if someone declared to us that it was time at last for this scripture to be fulfilled, would we reject the proposal as dangerous and unworkable? Or would we sign up, take the risks, and go with the new movement? I'd like for us to sign up, take the risks, and see what we can do to make our world better by making it more unified in seeking God. One of the ways that we will become stronger, I believe, and we have always done this, is through our being fed spiritually. We have strong Sunday school programs, but I'd like for us to have more. In Lent, I'm going to start a new teaching series. It's going to be called God in the Common Good. It will use parts of these books that I have just beaten you to death with in the last month or so. There will be portions of Not in God's Name, the book I've used so much lately. There will be portions of a book I'm reading called Altruism, which talks about the benefit to the individual of thinking of the greater good. And there will be dimensions of a book called An Other Kingdom, which is, as I mentioned, by my new best friend, Walter Brueggemann. And it talks about our returning, our getting away from being a contract society in which we see other people as means of production, and getting to a covenantal society where we see other people as our neighbors. I want us to learn about that in our heads and get it into our hearts and souls and our hands to do something to unite our community, not just St. Peter's, but our area. I think this teaching series, which I will offer on Wednesday evenings after church and on Sunday mornings, so that people who could not attend one of those times could attend the other. It will basically be the same material in each session for Wednesday and Sunday. You're welcome to come to both. And I think some of you who have been to the prayer book class found that helpful, because you get different viewpoints with a different set of people. So I invite you to take part in that. I hope that you will. Basically, what I'm trying to do is read these three books on your behalf and give you the high points. And then model that or mold that into something that we can do at St. Peter's to get stronger. We have scheduled an inquirer's class for March 4th and 5th. It will be a Friday night and Saturday. And for those of you who are new to the church, that is a class where you learn about the Anglican tradition. You learn about the ways that we do things in church. It is taught by me, Dennis, and Lisa Mazel. I think it's a very interesting class. I guess most teachers think their class is interesting. But it's really a good discussion of finding out who we are as Anglicans, as Episcopalians, and how we live that out, not only in our lives, but in our liturgy. So please consider, even if you're not a new member or someone new to St. Peter's, consider taking that just as a refresher and to get to know other people. It's very interesting material. My plan, which I have not detailed it yet, is that this year we will also offer DOC again. If you've been through DOC, raise your hand if you've been through DOC. And I'm not going to ask this because I'm afraid of how it might come out. I would suspect that most of you would say this is one of the best things I've done, because it is so edifying, and it's a way of building community, but it's also a way of learning. And in DOC, which is Disciples of Christ in Community, there is a 45-minute session, which is a teaching. It's a lecture. And much of it is about words that have been captured by the society or by the faith tradition and need to be redefined. So there are words in there like faith and sin, some of the words that we really just kind of shy away from because they've been misused so much. And Doc explains those words and gives history about how those words came about, and then gives us some direction about what we are to do about them. The other component of Doc is the same day of the 45-minute lecture. There is a session after that with small groups. And you're in the same small group for the entire time of the program. And it's a community building program. So you're not only learning about the faith, which is very, it's very interesting material, and I think you'll like it. It's well done. It's done by John Jenkins. We will teach it, but it's his material, so you know that it's the good stuff. But after the 45-minute teaching, there is a time of processing it with your small group, and it helps build community because we get to know each other better. I ask you, when we put that material out or that invitation out, I ask you to please consider taking DOC. It is a powerful program for personal transformation and for the transformation of the community. I think one of the ways that we can help to begin the coming of the kingdom of God or the strengthening of it among us is to share and revive and nurture the lost art of substantive civil conversation. We don't have conversation anymore. And in many dimensions of our church life, I've noticed that if we just have a chance to sit with people and talk with them about something that has some depth, people are starving for that kind of conversation. And the world doesn't model it. The world is so polarized that you don't listen, you just wait for the other person to finish so that you can attack what they've said. All of us have done some of this. I think we're losing the art of conversation, of civil debate, of being able to hear another opinion, and it has gotten so, I'll use the word rabid, it has infiltrated every level of our society, including maybe especially our politics. Nothing's going to get better until we start having conversations, until politicians start having conversations. And we can model it here at St. Peter's by building our community and offering those conversations to other people. The commentary on the passage from Nehemiah today, toward the end, talks about food and drink. And the commentary says, food and drink appreciated and relished may be the best witness to grace. Can I have an amen? I love that idea. One huge gift of this church is our ability to welcome people and to show what the love of God looks like lived out in ordinary human beings. We are very good, I think, at the gift of hospitality. In the next few months, I would like to see us make a significant investment in our gift of hospitality. When I arrived here a couple of years ago, there was already a move afoot to upgrade the kitchen, and I strongly urged those involved in that work that I would love to see it done, but not with money from the church budget. You know, there are lots of things that we have to spend money on. The kitchen works not very well sometimes. So I challenged the people who wanted to do that to raise the money outside the church budget. There is a precedent for doing that. When we upgraded the outreach building, rather than having that money come out of the church budget, it was raised separately, and it was a significant amount of money. I've had differing reports, and I didn't check. $50,000 to $70,000 was raised to revamp that building, separate from the church budget. So I challenged the people who wanted to upgrade the kitchen to raise the money on their own outside the budget. They've already responded. And just by some gentle encouragement, they have already raised about $20,000. The plan is starting to take shape. David Putnam, would you raise your hand, please? Just so David is a person who knows a lot about this and has been one of the guiding lights. That makes you sound like a soap opera. I'm sorry. For the days of our lives. David has been, he's one of our experts that he knows about equipment and how to do these things. And he will answer specific questions over at the parish hall after church about what we're thinking about doing. Here is the challenge. The ideal plan is very ambitious. It involves knocking out some walls in a way that would triple or quadruple our space for cooking and preparation and presentation of food. But it would cost, we estimate, a total of $40,000. $20,000 is already there. I think we can do this. I think this is an important enough component of our way of life together that we can raise this money and do it right. We will do a good job with whatever we are able to gather. Trust us on that. But if we can get to this $40,000 amount, we should have enough to make that space usable and upgraded and wonderful for the people who use it regularly for years and years and years to come. So it would be an investment in long-term success and hospitality of this parish if we can do it. And we will do it well at whatever level we can. We have set, the vestry has set, Palm Sunday, March 20th, as the end of our fundraising. And at that point, the vestry will look at the plan and decide what we can do. We will then begin with demolition, which seems to be the part everybody wants to help with. Demolition and renovation and upgrade will begin right after Easter. We have a lot of guests here on Easter, and we would like to leave the space alone to get past that. And then we will begin as soon as possible with whatever money we have in hand. We will, as I said, we will do a good job in renovating that space. One other thing. As we improve our facilities and our ability to host events and to invite the public in, I want to continue to extend our outreach to feed others in our community physically. We do this already. We are involved with Billy Brumfield House, with Stew Pot, and we have members of the church who regularly go there to help. We do put some money toward that. But what I think is that after we pay off this debt, which is not onerous, we've kind of become used to it, but how free could we be to help other people if we didn't have that payment of debt every month? So if we have more money at hand because we've paid off the debt, I would like for us to increase financially our support of these feeding ministries. But we need more people to be involved also. We need people to go down there and feed. We need people to help with preparation. We need more people to carry the gospel to other people in pans of chicken and bread and all the ways that we physically feed people. If you are interested in helping, please contact the church office and we'll put you in touch with the people who know about this, and I'm sure they would welcome the help. Food and hospitality are central to our ministry here together within these walls. As we continue to get stronger spiritually and financially, I would like to see us carry that feeding to others outside the walls. At St. Peter's, in a sense, we have returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt its structure. We are stable and vibrant and growing. Now it is time to move beyond ourselves. Now is the time for St. Peter's to strive for the greater gifts. Amen.